Thank you, sir. God bless you, man. So I'm trusting everyone had a good Christmas, even if you didn't get all the presents that you wanted. Can you believe this? Melinda got me my 8th guitar. It was an air guitar. Isn't it beautiful? She said, I can have as many as I want. We got the new year's coming up fast. Anybody working toward, it's going to be a better year next year than it was this year. I'm going to lose some weight. Okay. I'm going to read my Bible more. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be nicer to my neighbor, nicer to my spouse, nicer to my kids, nicer to my boss. And this time I mean it. This is going to be the best year ever. And it really is kind of a really good time to be able to do that. Kind of look at ourselves, do a reevaluation, and kind of look and go, you know, I could probably use some changes. I could use some things to better my life. And I could implement some things that would just make life better. And then God looks at you too. You know, you could use some improvement. You could use a few things that might make your life a little better. And God often will use a word to challenge us, to give us an idea that shifts our thinking about who He is. See, God is in the improve our lives business. Right? Here's your slide here. See, God gives directions, and God gives directives. Well, what's the difference? Well, directions are kind of more like GPS, you know? Museum's 3 blocks up and take a left. That kind of thing, right? There's multiple ways to get to the destination. Well, you could have went 95, but the road's kind of blocked that way to still get to the same museum. Directives are a little more stringent, right? All administration reports are due on my desk December 31st. And you know who you are. Directives are more like commandment. More like command. So then you start to get subjective. Is love one another as I have loved you a directive or a direction? Don't murder. A direction or a directive? Some folks treat directives like directions, and some folks treat directives like directions. So here's your next slide. See, God will give us information that will lead us to revelation that's supposed to result in transformation. And when that kind of thing starts to happen in your life, get ready. Get ready. Things are going to start to get a little weird. Get ready. Things are going to start to move from the natural to the supernatural. See, now the enemy is going to start to get a little bit more nervous, sensing that something is going on with you. Something amazing and marvelous and wonderful and God glorifying is about to take place in your life. And then whenever God starts to do something in you, well, the devil's going to start raising up attacks against you. When God speaks to you, Satan will strike at you. And when God fills you, the devil fights you. So, the way to avoid confrontations like this with the devil, just keep doing what you're doing. Don't even pay any attention. Just keep on sinning. Just keep living your life in the world. Just keep giving in to all your temptations. Just continue to ignore God. Do nothing. Stay looking at your greed. Stay focused on your lust and your jealousy. See, the devil already has you. The other way is to resist, right? Or how do they say this right? Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But when you do that, submit to God, it puts a target on your back. And the devil will seek you out and will cause issues. See, it's not even unusual, but there's a sphere of spiritual attack that is going on constantly. There are times when things begin to attack us in ways we've never seen before. They affect us in ways we could never even think possible, because you're moving from the natural into the supernatural. Things start to get a little bit weird. They start to seem a little bit unnatural. Things start to take effect in the very depths of your soul, challenging you, changing you, physically and spiritually. Listen, I can't even put it into words except to say this, that the magnitude of the move of God, the magnitude of the move of God that he's wanting to bless his children with, has caused the devil to attack. And he battles us at every level. For those that are young and new in the Lord, to those that have been missionaries for 50 years, the attacks and the enemy doesn't stop. The battle rages on. For the individual, under relentless bombardment, constant bombardment. You don't have to do anything but turn on the TV and see lust and greed and everything that goes along with this world, and it just draws us right in. The church has always been under attack. Why has the church always been under attack? Well, the church is God's idea. That's enough. You're the temple of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You're going to be under attack. This is the body of Christ, the fellowship. New Life Alliance Church is an outreach to the world. We're on the front lines of ministering the Word of God, preaching Jesus and Jesus only. You don't think that comes under attack? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. Is that a direction or a directive? We're on the front lines because we preach Jesus only. We're on the front lines because we preach grace and mercy and patience and compassion and love. See, Satan, the enemy, the tempter, cannot stop the movement of God. So what does he do? He comes at the flesh. He comes at the people to derail God's plans from ever happening. The enemy seeks to distract us. The enemy seeks to humiliate us. The enemy seeks to persecute us, to give us doubts in our ways, to question our motives, to question God's word, to even question our ability and the power that we have in the Holy Spirit of God. Whenever God begins to lead you into something greater, the devil will do everything he can to keep it from happening. He doesn't want you to succeed. He doesn't want you to have access to more God. The enemy doesn't want you in a Bible study. He doesn't want you on a prayer call. He doesn't want you in church on a Sunday. He doesn't want you to follow God's directions or his directives. He doesn't want you to fulfill your purpose for your very existence. And the battle intensifies the longer and the more you seek the Lord. And the more you resist the devil, the harder he pushes back. Here's your next slide. See, with new levels, you get new devils. You want to know what is constantly tested here in this ministry more at New Life than anything else? We're going to cover it today. I'm going to outline 3 points. You're going to see exactly. But one of the things that is tested more than any that overshadows all of these points, love is tested. Love is tested. Love is tested over and over and over again. Relationships, your relationship with God, challenged and tested all the time, every day, all the time. Your relationship and your love to each other, tested, challenged, every day, every day, every day. The enemy seeks to destroy and to devour and to tear down. And I can promise you this. It's not any different in any other church that is on the front lines. God's word is powerful and it cannot be stopped. God's word is overwhelming and is for all peoples. Which peoples? Which peoples? All people. Is it for just the saved? Is it just for those that think like you, act like you, vote like you, eat like you, dress like you? It's for all people, all of mankind. Jesus entered the world to reestablish a relationship between God and man. And in this text in Matthew 4, it helps us to understand that when God has spoken a word, it will be challenged. His word will be twisted. His word will be taken out of context. That's what the enemy likes to do. Gets you to misunderstand each other, create conflict and confusion and problems, and then we react. We don't respond. We react. And the words start to come forth even stronger. Will you love the people? Will you love the people? Will you shepherd the people? Can you put your own ego aside? Can you minister to the lonely? Can you minister to the lost, to the hungry, to those that are not so pretty, to the misfits, the ones that seem like outcasts and wretched sinners, the ones that will curse you to your face and then ask you for help the next week? Can you minister into those lives? Oh, to be able to love Peter in the moment when he's turning away from Christ. To be able to love Thomas in the midst of his doubt. Can you minister? Can you love? Do you know how big that is? Or is it all about your feelings? I'm sorry, did I offend you? God is asking a very important question. Do you know my word in principle only? Do you know my word in theology only? Can you put it into practice? Can you put it into practice? People can walk circles around me with their Bible knowledge and their theology, but can they love the unlovable? Do you mistake directions for directives? And do you mistake directives for directions? Spiritual warfare is constant in the life of the progressive sanctified believer. The progressive sanctified believer. I'm getting better and better. The years go by. I get more grace. I get more faith. I get more love. And I give more away. How about you? Are you feeling less and less attached to God? Are you feeling more and more attached to God? Are you feeling more and more attached to the world? Are you feeling more and more attached to the love that Jesus holds for you? See, you have to answer that. And only you can answer that. Spiritual warfare is constant in the life of the progressively sanctified church. Whenever you're on the verge of progress, whenever you're on the verge of increase, whenever you're on the verge of expanding outreach, the heavenlies engage in a battle. And many of you should be prepared for an awesome upcoming year. It's going to be amazing, but you better prepare for the battle. If you want to succeed for God, the enemy's coming. Have you ever heard this? Why do bad things happen to good people? You ever heard that? Why? And I've asked that. Man, why do bad things happen to... You put that in a spiritual context, I'll tell you exactly why. I'll tell you exactly why. People experience bad things because they do good things. That's exactly why they experience bad things, because they're good. What do you expect them to not have bad things happen to them because they're good? The enemy comes to seek, devour, destroy, and divide. Of course he's coming after you. People love to judge, though, don't they? You know why you're experiencing such traumas in your life is because you don't follow God. I look at people in their lives and go, you know why you're experiencing such trauma in your life? Because you are following God. Because the enemy wants to take you out. He wants to throw all the doubts in your head and confuse you and start to doubt God's love and doubt God's word and doubt God's healing process over you. Don't let the enemy win. What has just taken place in our scriptures here is Jesus goes to John the Baptist. John the Baptist baptizing people, telling them, repent, 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 the kingdom of God is near. Repent, repent, the kingdom of God is near. And here comes Jesus. There he is. There he is. I am not even worthy to tie the laces of his sandals. Here he is, and he gets baptized. And the Spirit descends upon him like a dove. I hope that you know this story. Then a voice resounds from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, wouldn't we love to hear those words? Oh, yeah. Well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah. And then it goes into the wilderness. If you have your scriptures, who leads him into the wilderness? 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 You want me to read the scripture to you? Oh, I don't have the scripture. Christian has the scripture. What's it say, Christian? You got that. All right, all right. Jesus was led. This is verse 1. Jesus was led by, capital S, Spirit. Thank you, Jody. Then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted by the devil. To be tempted by the devil. I thought you were pleased with me, Father. I just heard you say it. I thought you loved me. I thought you delighted in me. I thought I was the apple of your eye. I thought I was one of your own. Led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Why into this hardship? Didn't I pray enough? Do not lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil. The goal and the aim of all believers is to live to please God. Wouldn't you love to hear such words? This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter to your Father's kingdom. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that faith, that belief, that admiration, listen to the word I'm saying to you, from God, that belief, that love, that faith that God holds from God to you, caused a showdown in the desert. Caused a showdown between good and evil. A showdown between dark and light. Between Jesus and Satan. That love, that admiration, that faith that God has towards you will cause a showdown in the desert. Satan wants to tempt you. He seeks to devour you. And anything that pleases the Lord, and at every level, of course trouble's coming. But you have the power to defeat, to overcome, and to rise above, and to win. Your testimony is on the line. Your testimony is on the line. Your faith, the challenge of your faith, the temptation of your faith to walk away, to give up, to seek the world instead of seeking God. The depth of your faith will be challenged. And I know sometimes we think it's what God is doing, but often the devil wants to know what's going to break you. And he's going to seek those things to break you. Money, lust, pornography, adultery, greed, envy, you name it, he's a-coming. And he likes to pick on the weak flesh, doesn't he? He likes to do that. Your life will bear witness to that which you believe. And listen, so here's your next one. Jesus' temptations will be yours. They'll be yours too. And the first place that you'll find the battle is in your next slide. You'll battle over the word. You'll battle over the word. Something concealed has now been revealed. Jesus himself, God himself, prophesying and speaking is now coming to fruition. All the prophecies revealed, all the things that were written coming to pass. After this revelation, the word becomes flesh. And a great intensifying in spiritual lives and in the spiritual warfare. See, one of the reasons the battle comes is they come according to the level of revelation that we obtain. They come according to the level of revelation. Whenever God reveals something to you that you previously did not know, or gives you a fresh insight, or proclaiming a new revelation into your own heart, Satan will come to battle you over that. The word became flesh. Is that Jesus or not? The word became flesh. Spirit became flesh. Is that an idea or a statement of fact? Is that kind of a direction or is that a directive? Well, I'm hoping that you would be very decisive on that and say, no, Spirit became flesh. Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas. Emmanuel, God is with us. See, I hope you settle that in your soul. Because that's just the beginning. That's just a starting point. The Lord becomes flesh. Spirit became flesh and dwelt among us. Spirit invades the physical realm. We get it. We celebrate it. We string up lights and put up Christmas trees and say, Merry Christmas. Now watch. Humor me in this, if you would. Share this with you. The Word takes on flesh and dwells among us. Call him Jesus. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. Insert your name here. The Word, the Spirit, indwells you and becomes flesh. When God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you and revelation is imparted upon you, Satan will go to war with you over the Word of God. Anytime the Word becomes flesh in you, becomes a reality, the Word takes on flesh. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, indwells within you. Would you say yes? Would you say the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Would you say the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Would you say the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Would you say the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Would you say the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Spirit becoming flesh. It's not I that live, but Christ in me. The Word becomes flesh. Satan knows you're a step closer to seeing the glory of God in your life, to seeing a promise fulfilled in your life. See, folks, there are far too many people who know the Word of God in principle, but not in practice. They won't fight the battles that you're willing to fight. It's when the Word becomes flesh and the Holy Spirit makes His home in you. So that's your next slide. Do you know the principles of His Word, but not the practice? Because there's a lot of people that do not have the Spirit of God dwelling within them, but boy, do they know the Word. What's the difference? What's the difference? The Word of God in you. In you. The Spirit of God in you. The Holy Spirit of God in you. Many people are living on the level of information and not revelation. And perhaps even what I've just shared with you and told you gives you new meaning to how valuable you are. But also how under attack you are. The enemy's going to try to trip you up. He's going to try to cast doubt and throw shadows and give you a lot of dual meanings, just like he did with Jesus. They're going to be your same temptations. You will be faced with those same ones to doubt, to give into the physical doubt, to fear the unknown, to question your own faith and your own belief and your own understanding. You will be tempted concerning the Word of God. And am I really in Christ? Jesus' temptations will be yours too. And when you are tempted, you know, 1 Thessalonians, I think it's 10:11, says, God will provide a way out for you. Not if you're tempted, when you are tempted. And we already know and already should believe that if we're following God and desiring to follow God, it's coming. The temptation's coming. And I'm going to be prepared before the temptation even arrives. I'm not waiting for the temptation and get prepared. You better be prepared before it ever arrives. You better be a person of forgiveness before a situation and a circumstance ever happens that needs forgiveness. You better be a patient person, period, before a circumstance ever requires you to practice the patience. You are a forgiving, patient, kind, gentle Spirit of God that speaks love and encouragement into people's lives and understands and knows the Word of God because the Word of God dwells within you. Jesus' defense, here's your second one, will be yours too. You have the temptations, but Jesus' defenses will be yours too. And you will do battle over the word. There's no question about that. You will do battle on this part as well. It's really the battle over God's will or yours. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and he will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, well, it's also written, do not put your Lord God to the test. Right at that moment, Jesus could have popularized himself. Absolutely. He could have just called down the angels and said, come and save me. Bear me up. He could have easily turned stones into bread to feed himself. But this was not God's will for him. Even if he was hungry, he wasn't going to do it. Even if he felt like, oh, if I just had the... He wasn't going to do it. It was God's will that he desired. As hungry and as tired as he was, even in his own flesh, God's will. We've heard it before, right? You hear him praying it. If there's any other way, Lord, but not my will, your will be done. See, I'm looking for that place in Scripture where Jesus called the crowd. Where Jesus popularized himself on purpose. Jesus walks away from crowds. He doesn't call the crowds together. He creates a crowd, but he doesn't call the crowd like that. It was God's will that he would take on the nature, oh, this is a tough word now. He would take on the nature of a servant. Take on the nature of a servant, not a celebrity. I know a lot of pastors that would do well to remember that. The temptation, the will of God, or your will. Many of the battles we're going to find ourselves in are over the same thing. God's will or your will? My free will, my desire, it's what I want. God, help me get what I want. Bless my plans, God. God's saying I have different plans that I would bless. Why aren't you blessing my plans, God? Because they're your plans, they're not mine. Satan will come and try to get you to focus on other things, trying to get you to cause the will of God to become very fuzzy to you and unclear so that you will get sidetracked. Satan does not tempt us only in the areas of our weakness. This is a misconception. He will tempt you in the areas where you're strong. He will actually work on your pride. He loves to pull out the pride. You know, you're so talented. You should stop singing those Jesus songs. We can get you a record deal. Get you a little more commercialized. Get you playing on the radio a little bit more. It's a great song. You just don't say Jesus. I mean, allude to him, of course. You can allude to him, and you may even suggest. But you say Jesus, you lose half your revenue. Is this about Jesus? Or is this about revenue? You will be tempted in your areas of strength. And you know, you so pretty. People just love to log online and see you. You don't have to take everything off. Just show a little bit. You'll make more money. It's just a little compromise. Satan does not want you to fulfill your God-ordained plans. He doesn't want to see God's plan for your life come to fruition. He doesn't want to see it materialize. He doesn't want to see you fulfilled and blessed by God. He wants you to think about this world, not God. He wants you to think about money, not God. He wants your lust to take priority, not God. The reality is, for me, there is real no defense. I'm weak. Maybe many of you are. I'm wretched. I know the dark corners of my own mind. I'm prone to question, doubt, and to think too much. I haven't liked any of my sermons for decades. I'm too philosophical. I'm too psychological. I preach too much love, too much grace, and too much patience. And then the enemy just loves to play tricks on your mind. And you're not good enough. You don't belong there. You're not good. You're not a leader. You're not a shepherd. You can't be this. You can't do that. Who do you think you are? Oh, I know. I know. I know I deserve hell. I'm on the edge every day. I am not worthy to tie the laces of his sandals. I fail way too often. Satan is relentless towards me. I get it. I'm on the front lines. I'm looking at a lot of eyeballs trying to preach the Holy Spirit of God so that they might move into a direction of considering God more than they consider this world, that they might consider eternal life. They're all going to face death. Preach it, Pastor. I know I don't have the strength. I know I am not good enough. But I know who is. And I know who gives me strength. And I know who gives me all that is required for me to accomplish what God is asking of me to accomplish. I know who props me up. I know who washes my fears away. I know who protects me and provides for me. I know who saves me. That's all the strength I need. Everything else is flesh and of the world, and it's doubt, and it's the enemy. That's not the things God says about me. I want to listen to what God says about me. I dare not stop. I dare not slow down. I know where my strength comes from. I know where my power comes from. Pastor, 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 pastor. What do you think he's asking me to do? You get the privilege. You get the privilege of seeking God yourself. You get the privilege of asking him yourself. I can tell you where to start. I can tell you where to start. Be in Christ. Christ in you. That's all you'll need. That's where you start. The Word becomes flesh. And it's not theology. It's practicality. It's not principle. It's spirituality. It's the way in which you walk and see the world with the eyes of Christ. Jesus' defense was the Word of God. The Word of God made flesh in you. You have all the power that you need. Satan's attacks will come from the Word of God. But listen, Satan is not flesh. I don't think the Word can dwell. I think he might have a lot of knowledge. He might have a lot of insight. He could probably quote it backwards and forwards and say it in every language. But he ain't got what it takes. He ain't got the Spirit of God inside you. And if you are not in the Word of God, then you are susceptible to the attacks of the enemy by the very words you can't claim to believe in. Abide in me. The war is over, the will of God or the will of man. The battle will be in your heart and in your mind. It will be over God's will or your will. And God's will, I know this, it's always for the people. Give me the next slide. The battle of wills. God's will is always for the people. He wants to do something in you. Hallelujah, praise be to God. Dance around the sanctuary. Sing it loud. Sing it off key. Come to the altar and kneel. God wants to do something in you. But I can promise you this. He wants to do something in you so that he can do something through you. It's not just about you. It's about you, but it's so much more than you. And God's will is for the people. And he'll give you grace that you might give it away. He'll give you patience that you might give it away. He'll show you gentleness and forgiveness. Why? So you can give it away. Receive it all you want. Receive it. Receive it. You cannot outgive God. Receive all you got. Receive all he's got for you. And give it away. Be the flesh of God. And finally, we have this. Jesus' victories will be yours too. How about that? Jesus' victories will be yours too. Again, the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all of their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left. The devil left. And the angels came. The passage kind of teaches us the principle that Satan came blatantly at Jesus. He didn't disguise himself very much, did he? He knew who he was. Our devil seemed to be a little bit more subtle. But I could promise you this, sometimes they're not. They will be bold and in your face. They will be bold and in your face as well. Away from me, Satan. Get thee behind me. You want the things of man, not the things of God. That's what Jesus told Peter after he just claimed him to be the Messiah. You don't think he's coming? And though the devil comes at us often for the very same purpose, he often comes in subtle fashion. And some one of the ways is the battle over worship. The battle over worship. Away from me, Satan, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That's your next slide, the battle over worship. See, the devil has never really said to me, fall down and worship me. Has anybody ever felt that from God, from the devil, from the enemy? Some people will do that. They'll worship the heroin needle. Literally. But I know that he's never done that to me and said, fall down and worship me like that. But he has tried to deviate me and destroy my commitment to God. I bet we can all relate to that one. He's all tried to get me distracted and to think about other things. He's tried to fill my life with all kinds of other distractions, even with other people that will try to occupy my time and my mind, distract me and mislead me and confuse me and put me into all kinds of turmoil. The devil continues to fight with me and probably with you, even over this area of worship, personal worship and corporate worship. And many times we'll find ourselves withdrawing from the physical act of worship, probably often for a variety of reasons. At least I've been told a variety of reasons why people can't worship God. Think about that for a second. But the number one way that Satan comes is to get us preoccupied and pre-focused. We start to focus on problems and not focus on the Lord. So our problems consume us, not the Lord. And it's often very simple. but it's very hard to do. But you have victory in the power of God to be able to accomplish all the things that he's asking of you to do. Oh, you know, Pastor, it's just way too hard to worship in here, you know, because you sing off key all the time. Okay. It's way too hard to worship. It's too hot in here. It's too hard to worship. It's too cold. I couldn't possibly worship God in here. Are you kidding me? Look what she's wearing. I couldn't possibly worship a God in here. Look at his hair. Look at this carpet. It seems so simple. He gets us to look at other things other than the Lord. And it amazes me how many followers of Jesus, how many mature followers of Jesus, been walking with the Lord for decades, are still stuck. I couldn't possibly worship the Lord because I don't even know where to go with that. The problem is not the because. The problem is I can't worship the Lord. They're stuck in a primitive place of being unable to focus on God. They see the problems. Our worship of God and our attention to God is weak. Weak. We get distracted by a piece of cloth. We get distracted by carpet, a person's shoes, a necklace. Do you know that there are people that do not come to this church because I wore a necklace? So I'm wearing a necklace, so if that's a problem, you can feel free to leave too. So listen, in the effort for the weaker brother, I don't wear a necklace. And then they leave for some other reason. Probably my shoes. Listen, folks, I've learned to not try to eliminate the distractions. We need to increase our focus. How does the Lord move in your life in such a way as that you're able to increase your focus and stop looking at all the distractions? You're focused on all the distractions. You're focused on all the things that irritate you and problematic with you. And all you need to do is just look to the Lord. Here's an idea. Close your eyes and worship God. And don't worry about what's going on around you. In fact, come and kneel at the altar with your eyes closed and look at nothing but the cross. What do you have to do to increase your focus on the Lord and eliminate some of these problems that you seem to be so burdened with? The enemy tries to stir us up and gets us to focus on all the wrong things and the wrong areas and the wrong people. Jesus was pretty clear. I'm not getting distracted by you, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him thou shalt serve. That's it. Just do that. Just say that. Just walk that way. Just repeat that to yourself over and over and over. I worship God. I'm not looking at the car. I worship God. I'm not looking at his hair. I worship God. I worship God. Before long, you won't even notice anything else. All you'll be focused on is worshiping God. But listen, you have to practice. You have to put this into play. You have to do this. I know it. I know it. I know it in principle. But do I know it in practice? Jesus showed us the three areas in which the spiritual battles come. We have to maintain our faith, our trust, our commitment to the Word of God, to the will of God, and to the worship of God. These are some areas the enemy loves to attack. And we're going to face the battles. And are you ready? It's scary. It's scary when you say it. Scary when you say it. Scary when you say it. But if I want to go deeper with the Lord, I'm going to have to fight harder at the enemy. The battles will forever be a part of our lives, but you are well equipped to reign victorious in spiritual warfare. We will continue to believe in the church and that it has value into the community and society, and we will continue to preach Jesus, even when it brings the assault of the enemy. Are you with me? Amen. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity where we're able to look into your word, praise your name, glorify your name, sing out to you. And Father, I would pray that you would help us in our own understanding of who we are in you, spirit-filled believers, filled with an understanding of the word of God. And Father, I would pray that as we would wrestle those times when is it our will or your will, that Father, we would submit to you. We would trust in your ways. And Father, may there be no other idols. May we worship you and you alone and you only. You are the God above all other gods, the Lord of all lords, the King of all kings. We honor you, worship you, and celebrate you this very day. And we humbly admit we need you. Come and wash us clean. Forgive us our past, Father, and fill us for the future. We come before you in the name of your Son. Amen. God bless you guys.